orange juice jugs that take up less space in your fridge, bars of soap that seem to run out faster than usual, bags of chips that you would swear are more air than chips these days. You're not just imagining things. It turns out inflation isn't the only thing that you have to worry about at the grocery store. Shrinkflation is a problem too, and it can be much harder to spot. And it could be getting worse as tariffs put kinks in supply chains. So joining us now with both a refresher and a look ahead is consumer advocate Edgar Dworsky. Hey, Ed, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Sasha, for having me.
Remind us, define that word shrinkflation. What is it? And maybe give us some recent examples.
Well, when manufacturers' costs go up, they have a choice of how they can pass on those costs to consumers. They know if they raise the price directly, well, that may turn off shoppers, particularly in times of inflation, and they lose customers potentially. So some of them decide, well, maybe they will give you a little bit less in the package. So the package looks about the same, mm-hmm. but it actually has less. So it, in essence, it's a backdoor price increase. It's a very sneaky way to raise prices because manufacturers know that consumers don't pay attention to the net weight or the net count on the product. You asked for some recent examples. You mentioned orange juice containers getting smaller. Well, other things that are liquid that are in the dairy case, mm-hmm. Pure Leaf Tea. It's a tea product that went from 64 ounces, the old half gallon, and it's now 59 ounces. Mm. So that kind of matches the way orange juice has gone down.
Interesting.
Detergent, Cascade dishwasher, pods, you know, those little pods you throw in the dishwasher. The old container had 52 pods, the new one, 47.
Yeah, and the pods themselves look smaller to me, too.
Yeah, you don't know if they've given you kind of less cleaning agent in there, or maybe they took out some water. We've certainly seen liquid detergents,
right,
you know, giving you fewer ounces but claim the same number of loads. And one of the big categories we always see are paper products. So Bounty's new mega roll, supposedly four rolls in one, it's already been downsized from 180 sheets to 164.
Right. You know, reading up on where we are right now, Ed, seeing some articles sort of talk about the expectation from the consumer standpoint, where we could see prices rise on things like seafood and coffee, fruit, cheese, nuts, candy bars, other imported foods, as you mentioned, items that contain ingredients and packaging like plastic and aluminum from other countries, they're all going to be hit. Perishable food prices are going to rise first. So when you know that, as someone who's been following this for so long, you also know that shrinkflation is going to be thrown here in the mix. What do you think when President Trump says, all right, I'm going to start increasing tariffs? What comes to mind for you?
Increasing tariffs, you know, typically means higher prices, but it's increased costs for manufacturers. And what are they likely to do? I think, frankly, this time around, they're going to do both. They're going to maybe split the difference and say, well, we'll take an ounce out of the product and we'll raise the price, you know, by 15 cents. We've seen that during the last inflationary wave where it's been a double whammy for consumers. Not only is the package getting smaller, but the price is going up. So I think we're going to see a new wave coming because of the higher tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got this 90-day pause on tariffs on goods, except for China. If this trade war continues, Ed, you think we're going to see more shrinkflation too?
Oh, shrinkflation kind of comes and goes. I would certainly expect we're going to see shrinkflation of products. So that means the paper products will have fewer sheets on the rolls, you know, toilet paper, paper towels. Cereal boxes will get smaller. Mm-hmm. It's really unfortunate. And again, I think the prices are going to go up as well. But there's a sister kind of technique that manufacturers use called skimpflation. Mm. Skimpflation is when a manufacturer substitutes a cheaper ingredient for a more expensive ingredient. So where a margarine, you know, may be 50% oil at the current time, well, maybe it's going to only have 46% oil. And what do you put instead of oil? Water.
Yeah. Wow. Would you say that this is a successful tactic for the companies?
It's successful to a degree, because with all the publicity that shrinkflation has gotten over the past several years, consumers are more aware of it, and they tend to really speak out loudly and are annoyed when they discover their product has kind of sneakily gotten smaller. So there is a downside to shrinkflation, and that's the possible loss of customers for the manufacturer that engages, you know, in that technique.
As you said earlier, Ed, you know, people aren't going to notice when, you know, a certain item, or they're not looking at the net fluid ounces of their favorite drink. What tips can you give for folks to be able to spot this just a little bit easier?
Well, you've got to become more net weight conscious. That means when you're down to your last box of Cheerios, you know, take a look at the package. How many ounces in there? Don't buy cereal by the fancy names they're now giving them that say, you know, family size or mega size or giant size. Because if you're paying attention to the words and not paying attention to the numbers, you could get snookered. And when you go to the store, use unit pricing. Unit pricing on the shelf gives you the best deal that's available of all the different cereals or products that you're comparing. And you certainly can switch to a different brand if you see your favorite brand of peanut butter downsizes. Take a competitor that hasn't done so and consider writing a letter to the manufacturer and complaining. Maybe you'll get some coupons. They're probably not going to bring back the bigger size, though.
Yeah. Who are the worst offenders when it comes to shrinkflation, Ed? Are there certain industries or certain types of companies that are just doing this all the time?
Well, there are certain categories that are kind of frequent filers, if you will, frequent offenders. Cereals, for example, the boxes keep getting smaller, less and less, but the physical box seems to stay about the same size or maybe even looks a little bit bigger. They're making them so narrow now. I don't know how they stand up on the shelf. Paper products, so toilet paper, paper towels, fewer sheets. Sometimes they even play with the dimensions of the sheets. And snack foods. You know, we used to buy Oreos and there would be a 16-ounce package of Oreos. I think it's now down to something like 13.35 ounces. Candy and other snack foods. These are kind of the big categories where you see it, but almost nothing is immune. I'll know that shrinkflation has gone too far when I open that carton of eggs and there's only 11 inside.
Yeah. So do consumers then have any recourse when shrinkflation happens?
Well, the recourse is basically just switching to another brand. You know, vote with your pocketbook. Write a letter of complaint to the store. But being aware that it's happening is really the best way you can save. So you can make a decision. Do I still want to buy this product? Do I want to support this manufacturer, given what they're doing? The trouble is, it's a copycat industry. So if brand A peanut butter downsizes, not too long from now, you know, brand B will do the same thing. But in the meantime, go ahead and buy brand B. It's probably not that different, and you'll save some money.
Yeah. I mean, grocery prices, this was already frustrating for customers even before the tariffs, Ed. So do you think folks are just going to continue to pull back?
I think that they're going to buy fewer products or be more careful in their purchases. They may not buy the more expensive items. I think we're probably going to see a shift to people buying store brands, for example, instead of the name brand. I mean, I buy store brand ketchup and even store brand cereal.
I was going to say, I was already there, Ed. I'm already there. I don't need shrinkflation to tell me to do that.
You know, don't mess with my Hellman's mayonnaise, some people would say. You know, they're not going to buy the off-brand, or some have to have the Heinz ketchup.
Yeah, no, off-brand me all day. That's consumer advocate and shrinkflation expert Ed Dworsky. He's also the former assistant attorney general in Massachusetts. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Ed. Great to have you.
Well, thanks, Sasha, for having me.